Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It's Keith McPherson on The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Again, I like the Lug Hour. I like this time slot, Tommy. Well, it's a little longer, but shorter today. I think last night was the, 4-hour one. Tonight is more 2 hours. And, you know, as I was thinking about what to do, what to talk about, Karl-Anthony Towns' Eagle shirt, nah. But I will say this. Karl-Anthony Towns is a Yankees fan. As soon as we hit pitchers and catchers, he better be rocking his Yankee gear going hard for the Yankees. Nobody's talking about his thumb and the injury that he has. Everybody's talking about his shirt. But anyway, as I was putting my show notes together and thinking about doing an open, and yesterday I did the Pete Alonso open, and now things have changed, but there's only one thing to do. It's to talk Pete Alonso again. 888-808-1019, but if you listen to my show last night, I forget the caller's name or how it came up, but the movie Major League was mentioned. And the name Harry Doyle wasn't mentioned, but I think I joked about Willie Mays Hayes and used that as a transition into Charlie Hayes and a way to talk about Key Brian Hayes and a trade for the Yankees to get him to play third base for them. It's just super eerie to me that, you know, we were talking about Major League and the caller was like, have you seen those movies? I'm like, yeah, of course I've seen those movies. It's been a while, but I know the movie. And there's so many people that know that movie and know Bob Uecker and Harry Doyle, or Harry Doyle. More like, even A-Rod today put out a tweet where, I don't know. Shout out to A-Rod. I know his heart was in the right place. I'm pretty sure it was a mistake, but he said, heartbroken to lose Bob Uecker, an iconic voice of baseball. He brought joy not only to Cleveland, but to baseball fans everywhere. And I'm like, Cleveland? He's the Milwaukee Brewers guy. He's the play. Anyway, I think that was just a mistake between the movie and reality. Either way, RIP Bob Uecker, Mr. Baseball, a guy that, if you're a baseball fan, this guy is synonymous with baseball. And when we lose someone like that, you see how many people in baseball either met him. I never got a chance to meet him, but a ton of people that I've met got to meet him, and everybody is singing his praises, sharing their condolences. And when you lose someone like that, it just really makes you think about life and legacy and what he's left behind. The biggest thing for me about him that I appreciated was he was self-deprecating. I always say that I don't take myself that seriously. I always say no one should take life that seriously. We're not going to get out of this alive. And, you know, he always had a good humor about himself. He always had a way, even as a legend, even as an icon, to make jokes about himself and light up a room. And he was a great broadcaster. And you know, a couple things that I saw online today, baseball quotes put out. He said, I led the league and go get them next times. And it's got a picture of him in a Milwaukee Braves uniform. And the other one, he's in a Milwaukee Brewers uniform. And it says, You know, I was once named Minor League Player of the Year. Unfortunately, I had been in the majors for 2 years at that time. Like, I just think that, like, that type of stuff is great when you're able to joke about who you are, your profession, and not take anything too seriously. So, again, RIP to Mr. Baseball, Harry Doyle, Bob Uecker, gone but not forgotten. And I want to play something right now that hit me right in the face today as I was, you know, kind of falling through the rabbit hole of Bob Uecker's stuff. Awful Announcing posted this today. It's a clip from his last call. And maybe you've heard this because it pertains to obviously the wild card game, the last wild card game against the Mets. Can we play that, Connor?
Well, New York down. They did it. And the crew will have it end here tonight.
Really a crushing end to what was a fabulous season for the Milwaukee Brewers.
I'm telling you, that one had some sting on it. Milwaukee Brewers baseball has been brought to you in part by...
Man, did you hear in the background the chants for Pete Alonso? Think back if you don't remember. But obviously, you know, Pete Alonso hit that three-run bomb. And there were Mets fans that made the trip to Milwaukee. Some of them had went to Atlanta and then to Milwaukee. Like, how eerie is that? How strange is that on a day like today where we hear about Bob Uecker's passing? I heard about that before I heard about the Pete Alonso news. You hear Pete Alonso in the background of his last call as he's signing off with the Milwaukee Brewers. 888-808-1019. I already see calls for Bob Uecker thoughts and condolences. We will do that. But that's the segue into Pete Alonso. I feel like listening to the fan today, reading reactions today, the fan base is split right now. And if I had to pick a Mets fan cap to put on, whether you put it on to the front, to the side, or the back, I think the Met cap to the front is saying, in Stearns, we trust. We gave him an offer. He turned it down. We gave him another offer. He turned it down. We signed Juan Soto. We're moving on. We brought Jesse Winker back today. I think the hat to the side is saying, I'm indifferent about this. I'm not sure about this. Nothing has happened yet. Pete Alonso hasn't signed anywhere. This is all rumors. This is all part of the game. I don't know anything. Nope. I'm weighing it out. When he signed, he signed. Right now, there's still a chance he's coming back. It makes too much sense. And then the hat to the back is saying, man, I'm disappointed. I'm hurt. This is not the future I envisioned when we got this rich owner. Maybe with the Wilpons, who Mets fans love to call the Coupons. I didn't envision losing DeGrom. Now we're going to lose Pete Alonso as well. 888-808-1019. And I feel like we were always heading this way. I feel like there were little signs along the way that they weren't going to give Pete the money he was looking for. And Pete as well, going out, firing his agent, hiring Scott Boras, having a down year, it just kind of, we knew it was getting here. He wasn't signing an extension. He wasn't going to have a big contract. You knew they were going to go after Juan Soto, potentially land him. And here we are today with all the reports, right? I know last night when I was on, I reported that John Heyman put out the Mets would need an answer soon. I mean, how soon is soon? If that was last night while I was on air at, I don't know, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, soon is like we need an answer by tomorrow morning. And I talked a lot last night about the state of the Mets, the family vibe, the culture change that's happening here, and how Pete Alonso has been here through every iteration of these Mets, how Pete Alonso was going to the home run derby to earn more money because when he first came up, he wasn't making that much money with the Mets. He watched everybody come in and hit the mega millions. This rich owner comes in and himself and other fans, and people are probably thinking, you're good. You're good. You're going to be a forever Met. 7 years, $158 million was allegedly on the table, reported that was out there, and he passed on it, but you knew he was going to pass on it. because he's a Scott Boras client. And yesterday, if I go back to my notes from yesterday, David Stearns, which the connection between Bob Uecker, Milwaukee, David Stearns, the man from Milwaukee, leaving Milwaukee, coming to the Mets, that game, that call, where we are today with Pete Alonso today, I'm like, I'm putting my notes together. I'm like, this is all connected. The baseball gods are at work. Universe never unconnects. This is all too strange. But David Stearns knew last year, right? When Steve Cohen is telling you he's not tone deaf and he understands what Pete Alonso means to the fans and that he hopes he hits 55 home runs and makes it so difficult on him, Stearns wasn't saying anything about that. Stearns said, look, when you have a really talented player who's really good, who's entering the final year of club control, who happens to be represented by Scott Boras, these things generally end up in free agency. And we understand that. He basically told you, I know why this guy went out and got Scott Boras. If he doesn't have a year where we absolutely can't lose him, ball is in my court. And I have a vision for this team. And I remember this time last year, all the conversation about the Mets, nobody was talking about them getting to the NLCS. Nobody was talking about them facing the Dodgers, going to Game 6, having a historic run from June on. It was a talk about an evaluation year. We're going to evaluate talent. You made all those trades with Billy Epler. You got some young talent. You got some young guys coming up that you needed to find out about. There were Mets fans last year that were mad about the acquisition of J.D. Martinez because it blocked some young guys from being evaluated. Well, I think some Mets fans are going to be mad tonight about where we are with Pete Alonso and Stearns leaning into evaluating Brett Beatty, Luis Angel, Acuna, Mark Vientos, Ronnie Mauricio. That's just where you are. Because if Juan Soto is getting $51 million, escalated to $55 million, that's a lot of money in one guy. You have to be cost-effective elsewhere. You have to have young guys that can contribute. You have to lean into the future. 888-808-1019. So what is this future that we're in with the Mets? Are they better without Pete Alonso? If you ask me, no. With Jesse Winker batting behind Juan Soto, no. Should they bend a little bit? Should they, you know, for their guy? I said yes, but I'm reading a lot of different things. There's three different Mets fans. There are Mets fans out there. He fumbled the bag. What are you talking about, bro? They offered him fair contracts, fair deals. They tried. He's aging. He's a poor defender. He's not clutch. He had a down year, blah, blah, blah. He's your guy, though. I see more 20 Pete Alonso shirts than anything else. Now they're all going to be 22. Now there's some more Lindors being purchased. But that's your man's. That's your guy. That's the face of the franchise. And all this talk about family, I'm like, what, they kick him out of the group chat? Steve Cohen's got a group chat with like Brandon Nimmo and Francisco Lindor. I guess they booted out Pete Alonso and said, come on down, Juan Soto. And Pete is human, and he's a competitor. And you know he's got to feel some kind of way. And I just think it got to the point here where the Mets aren't going to budge, and Scott Boras isn't going to budge. And I think we need to speak more about Scott Boras as well while I'm at it. This is what Scott Boras does. And yes, Scott Boras just got the largest contract in sports history with Juan Soto. He's cooked after that. He's done. Because this is back-to-back years where his clients are embarrassed. His clients aren't going to their preferred destinations. His clients aren't getting long-term deals. He don't care, though. That Soto contract's only, he don't need another contract. So, like, Scott Boras advised Pete to get to this point. Scott Boras also advised Juan Soto to tell the Washington Nationals, nah, keep your $440 million. I'm good. And David Stearns knew that. 888-808-1019. These GMs know that. And now you have an owner who lit so much money on fire, who wasted so much money in the past now that he's saying, nope. Nope. Look at the year we had with David Stearns at the helm. I fully trust him. He's got my complete trust. Does David Stearns have your complete trust as a fan? Call me up and tell me. I don't know. I'm not a Mets fan. But putting on these different Mets caps tonight, I'm like, the fan base is split. And just listening to the fan, I heard people say they're not going to be fans anymore. I heard people upset at the organization because Pete is their guy and he's being treated unfairly. But then on the other hand, their fans saying, what are you talking about unfair? He was given offers. He passed on it. He fumbled the bag. But then, you know, there's the indifferent fan that's like, hey, where's he signing? And that's the tricky part right now. What's the market for him? These are all rumors right now. And supposedly the Blue Jays are interested. But then on the other hand, we hear that the Blue Jays are now working on an extension, you know, working harder, actively negotiating an extension with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And then, you know, the same Mets fans that are saying, ah, whatever, Pete is aging, we're getting Vladdy next year. They're just so sure of it. Some think that he could be traded for right now. Some think he's definitely getting traded for at the deadline. Some just think, hey, there's no way Steve Cohen isn't the highest bidder for him in the next offseason. 888-808-1019. Now, I'm just looking at Pete like, It's all on you, dude. Now you got to figure out where you want to go. And I think Pete's going to have a good year. I've been on record saying he's going to bounce back once he's paid, once he's taken care of. But the relationship has soured so much for you Mets fans that are in the middle saying, oh, he's not signed yet. I think it still gets done. I still think he comes back. All of this is playing out in the court of public opinion. It is hard to go back after that. It's hard to swallow your pride after that. It's hard to meet the media after all of that. It's hard to go to spring training, sign autographs on hats and baseball balls and talk to fans, and fans know you wanted more money and you didn't get it. And the Mets have already started to pivot. They've already put money elsewhere. They might pivot and go get Tanner Scott. Anthony Santander is floating out there. They might pivot and go get Anthony Santander. And I think it's just an unfortunate way for things to end with the legacy of Pete Alonso and what he's done for the Mets. 888-808-1019. You won the winter meetings, but as of today, you did not win the offseason. This Mets team is not better than the team last year. They have already lost so many pieces from that team last year. It is a different team. It is no guarantee that they get back to the National League Championship Series. It is no guarantee with this rotation that you even get out of the division. And I remind a lot of you Mets and Yankee fans, they were barely alive. They were on their last leg so many times. The Make It Happen Mets, it took 9 lives. It wasn't like they were number one, the number one seed. They were the last seed. And it took game 161, 162 to get in. So we can't sit here and act like Juan Soto and his 4 at-bats and his average play in right field just makes him a contender in the National League. I feel like take all of the emotion out of it or whatever, just roster construction. You needed Pete Alonso. You needed him in that lineup. And I think they played a dangerous game here where they called his bluff, and now Pete Alonso's saying, no, I'm good. Scott, do what I'm paying you to do. Do what you're supposed to do. Go get me the most money you could get me. I don't have to take it from them. I just saw how they lined up $800 million for this guy. I saw how the fans acted signing this guy. What about me? I'm telling you, these guys are athletes. They're professionals. They have egos. They have feelings. And now this is past the point of no return. I mean, the Mets roll out their promotional items. They've got the Juan Soto bobblehead. They've got the Francisco Lindor bobblehead. Hey, don't buy a jersey. Just buy tickets. You can get 5 different Mets players replica jerseys at Citi Field. The marketing strategy is on. I mean, if you really want to get crazy, you can get a Clay Holmes hockey jersey. I don't know why. I hope they just put the number on it on the back. I don't know why you would make a Clay Holmes hockey jersey his first year. And it's May 9th. It's very early in the season. Who knows how Clay is going to start being the 4th starter on the team. We'll talk about it. 888-808-1019. Mets fans, I want to hear from you. Yankee fans, chime in too. Because there's definitely a lot of Yankees fans sitting back and saying, oh, the Juan Soto parade is over. Like I just said, you won the winter meetings. You didn't win the offseason. Now you're starting to feel some type of way. There's some worry. There's some disappointment. And there's some thoughts about, okay, where is this team going? It's not a guarantee that they're able to duplicate what they did last year. That took Grimace. That took the rally pimp. That took, oh my, they need to sign Jose Iglesias tonight. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back. Oh yeah, inside the 7 p.m. hour on the Fan. I don't have that many hours tonight. KM to 8:45 p.m. Keith McPherson, your nighttime host, taking your calls and talking sports. Opened up talking about what else? Pete Alonso. And I saw an update that I didn't have in my notes, as we just got the update from Ack as well, right? The Mets had a last-ditch effort to try and sign Pete Alonso. And the three-year deal that we heard last week of 3 years, $90 million, it got down to 3 years, around $70 million, $68 million. Come on, man. What are we doing here? We'll get back to that in a minute. I'm watching MLB Network all day. They've been honoring Bob Uecker. So let's go to Nick in Jackson Heights. Nick, you're on the Fan.
Keith, how are you, my friend? Happy New Year. All the best. Thanks for taking the call.
Thank you.
Really quickly, sad day in baseball. Bob Uecker, of course, legendary. You know, there were some light beer commercials years ago where he was one of the featured actors in it, and they were just fantastic. If you haven't seen them, go in and take a look. They were hysterical. Great voice, great legend. And the older we get, I get, and more of these guys go, it's a reflection of where we are. On the Alonso thing, one of the reasons I think Soto went to the Mets is because they did go as far as they did because of Pete's home run. So he brought him in, kind of, if you could say it that way. And I'll take him on the Yankees, Keith. I really would.
Now that we're seeing what he caused, we made the move for Paul Goldschmidt. In hindsight, we're like, well, if we would have known we could get him on the cheap, they probably would have considered him at this rate.
And I want to say one more thing about our beloved Cowboys. This next decision about who we're going to hire as the head coach is going to be very important
It's not good. They're leaning to, like, I don't know. Deion Sanders is the wrong move.
I agree.
It's more nonsense. It's not football stuff. It's for media and clicks and money and it's just not going to get them anywhere. But here we go.
If I may, Jerry, build the brand, and that's what he cares about. But when we had guys like Clint Murchison and Gil Brandt and Tex Schramm with Coach Landry, those were different times. That was an organization. This is a business, and that's the difference, I think. And if I may, as a father, my advice to you, don't blink. Because when you blink, he'll be going off to school, and he'll be going...
Oh, time is already warped. It doesn't make any sense. The fact that my son knows all of these words, he walks around, I'm like, this has all happened already way too fast. Nick, thank you for the call and everything you added there. But yes, RIP Bob Uecker. I'm looking at this Miller Lite commercial, and obviously Miller Lite tied to Miller Park, the Brewers. I don't remember this commercial, but like, talk about charisma. Talk about a guy that just had it, the acting chops, the voice, the storytelling, the humor. I was not thinking about Bob Uecker until today, and now I am just like engulfed in all of this stuff around him. And again, I say, like, this is how you want to leave a legacy. I pray that I do enough in this world that when I go, there's videos and commercials and things like this for people to look back on my life and kind of relive my life in time. So, again, RIP to Bob Uecker. Let's go to Ed in Brooklyn on the Fan. What's up, Ed?
How are you, Keith?
Good. Thanks
for taking my call. Keith, we spent insane money on Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander. And that was no problem. That was crazy money, not smart spend. And now David Stearns thinks he's still on managing working with the Brewers. Pete Alonso has been nothing but a trooper, the face of the franchise, and he deserves the money, and he's still a good player. And I agree with you. I think he's going to have a big bounce back here. And what are we talking about? You think the Dodgers would have picked him right away? The Dodgers would have signed him the day after he hit the home run on the Brewers. And we talk about we want to be like the Dodgers. Steinbrenner would have signed him. You want to be a dynasty, you got to pay a little more money. Pete Alonso should be on the Mets. It's sickening to me.
Good call, Ed. I mean, I just feel like why not give a little bit more for your own? Steve Cohen talks about being a Mets fan, this being a passion project for Mets fans, this being philanthropy. David Stearns talked about growing up a Mets fan, sneaking into Shea Stadium. I don't know how the hell you do that, but I wasn't around back then, and I definitely wasn't going to Shea, never been. But, like, you should know. You should know this is a guy that the fans have loved for years, and we're looking forward to having the richest owner and him getting his payday. And now it's just kind of crazy, right? There might not be a market for him at 7 p.m. on January 16th. But, you know, I was leaning into last night saying once teams start reporting and they start looking at their rosters and they start looking at their lineups, you can always use a bat. And Pete, his bat is going to play, and he knows that. You guys could talk about his body. You could talk about his fielding, which I think is ridiculous anyway. He's going to be able to hit. And now he's got a chip on his shoulder the size of a boulder. He's going to be super motivated. You saw him working out with Sean Manaea. Like, he probably really wanted to come back to the Mets. Now it's like, screw the Mets. Now it's like, wherever I go, I'm going to mash. I'm going to kill. And I'm going to make them miss me. And if they struggle, if there's, you know, nobody hitting behind Juan Soto and he has 350 walks next year, like, I don't know, man. It's just, how did we get here? If you want to blame David Stearns, you can blame David Stearns. But it's just like, for your own guy, you give a little bit. For your own player who's done so much, who you had on the cheap, who did it for less, who watched Max Scherzer and Verlander come in, like, watch people get big time paid. Now when it's his turn, the money is just slowly disappearing, getting smaller and smaller and smaller. That's not right. That's not right. Chris is in the Bronx. What's up, Chris? You're next on the Fan.
Hey, what's going on, Nick? Just wanted to jump into, I thought you made some good points about the Mets before, but wanted to touch up a little bit about the job that Stearns has been able to do. I mean, he's proven he can do the job in Milwaukee with a smaller budget, and it's built a sustained winning there and competitive teams on the field. And I think he's already shown signs of doing that in year one with the Mets. And I actually love where our offseason's at. If you think about some of the things that he's done to build a pitching staff, I mean, there's more depth on this pitching staff than probably most teams besides outside of like the Dodgers and a couple of other top tier teams. But
right now, there's more depth to the Mets starting rotation and bullpen than what other teams?
I'm talking more on the side of the starters. If you look at some of the guys that I'll mention, is Manaea is coming back this year. We picked up Frankie Montas in the offseason.
Frankie Montas?
Frankie Montas has great stuff, and it has shown signs.
Yeah, Griffin Canning, Paul Blackburn. All right, we got to be realistic here. This is a championship team, right? It's championship or bust. They're trying to win the World Series. And we're talking about they have depth, that they have more depth.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you named Frankie Montas? I'm sorry. Yeah. Maybe because I've watched him in Yankee Stadium. You can't tell me Frankie Montas gives them depth. I don't know what he's going to be. He's a project. Well, he's a question mark. He might be terrible. He might be hurt. He might be washed.
That's true. Well, I think you also look at Frankie Montas and see what he did with the Brewers, right? And how effective he could pitch
in Wisconsin for a short amount of time. Yes, this is way different now. These are Juan Soto's Mets. The lights are brighter now. He's back in New York where he couldn't do it with the Yankees.
I think the Yankees also don't know how to develop the pitching staff the way the Mets do. I think the Yankees don't get as much out of their starters as the Mets do. I think that's a real argument to be had.
Yeah, the Mets last year just, you know, they got so much out of Severino and Manaea and David Peterson. And, yep, it's just a guarantee that – thanks for the call, Chris. I get it. You got to save face, right? You didn't like the phrasing with you won the winter meetings, you didn't win the offseason. You didn't mention Clay Holmes. Let's talk about Clay Holmes. His mama call him Clay, I'ma call him Clay. I cannot wait. Clay Holmes is terrible. Now all of a sudden he's a starter? Let's see how it goes. And Mets fans will tell you, whatever, if it doesn't work out, we'll just throw him in the bullpen. Good luck with that as well. You cannot tell me. These are lottery tickets. These are hopes and dreams. These are big wishes. You can't tell me it's depth. Depth is proven backups. Depth is like, okay, like I don't even want to go on that rant. We're talking about Pete Alonso. We're talking about the fact that he's a homegrown Met that has been the face of the Mets, the polar bear, LFGM, a guy that is, I'm sure, friends with a lot of those guys on that team. As I went back today after hearing the Bob Uecker clip and watched Pete Alonso hit that home run, and then also Francisco Lindor turn that double play, throw that ball to Pete, and them celebrate. And Pete yelling and screaming, and those guys rallying around him, and those fans chanting his name. You don't need that guy now. You think that doesn't change the fabric of the team? You think that doesn't change the culture, environment of the team? In Stearns, we trust. He's got it. It's just a guarantee. He did it in Milwaukee. He'll do it here. This is a team now. If they come up short of the National League Championship this year, it's a failure. Isaac's in Brooklyn. Isaac, you're on the Fan.
Yeah, hi, Keith. Thanks for taking the call. Before I get to my point, you should have just answered back to that last caller that Luis Hill and Clark Schmidt are key pieces in the Yankees' rotation. Those are Yankee picks.
They're Severino still becoming, but it's just like you can't say that the Yankees never develop pitching. I know the Yankees go out and buy guys like Gerrit Cole and Max Fried, but you know, we can't just now all of a sudden, Hefner and this Mets pitching lab, they just have had a ton of successful arms come out of there. Okay.
Yeah, I don't want to give the whole rundown, but I just want to – I think it's a bigger problem in sports, not just that what happened last night. And let's talk bigger picture than like just a little lens on last night's game. But last night, I took the Knicks I took the under on total points because I thought – Cat wasn't in, and Embiid wasn't in, and it's playoff intensity. So I took the under. It's about 210 or something. Anyway, what happens is they end up calling a foul on Anunoby, right? Fast forward, it goes to overtime, and I end up losing my bet. Now, I'm like, okay, I lost the bet. I'll move on. I lose a bunch of bets, right? But today, the NBA puts out a statement saying that foul was not actually a foul. So if that foul is not actually foul, and the NBA puts that statement out there, then how come I don't get my money back? I get refs blow calls. You know, there's a lot of – we go through sports and there's –
You got to take that up with FanDuel. You got to take that up with whoever you bet with. That should be voided.
That's what I'm saying. But that's what the point I want to go on is that isn't FanDuel or DraftKings – I mean, like all partners, shouldn't there be some sort of – if the NBA puts out a statement – Keith, you got to help me here. Something. You know what I'm saying? If they are partners and they're working together, shouldn't they give a refund if the NBA says that's not a foul? Because if they just don't say anything, then they don't say anything. Then we move on. All right, I lost the bet. But if the NBA is going to put out a statement the next day saying that we blew that call, then you blew that call, then I actually hit my bet.
Thanks for the call. Isaac, that's the risk you take. I would advise you to stop gambling. 888-808-1019. Lawrence is in Oklahoma City on the Fan in New York.
Keith, I've had some time to think about this Pete thing. And you know what, man? I do believe in the beginning they probably sent him a fair offer. And as the negotiations continued, the Mets get salty just like he gets salty. So they probably went lower with the offer. But if what you're saying about the only offer was $70 million for 3 years, like that's disgusting. But to the same extent, Pete says he wants to be a Met. He hires Scott Boras as his agent. And he's in control of the situation. Although Boras is the agent, if Pete wants to be a Met, he could still be a Met. And as far as his legacy goes, he will have no legacy if he does not remain a Met. What's he going to do? Go play for the Blue Jays, and they're going to put him in their Hall of Fame?
We don't know that. We don't know that. We can't say that. Everybody said DeGrom didn't care about winning. Everybody said he's going to go to the Rangers, and they're going to win 70 games. And he got hurt, but... he got to ride that magic carpet ride to a World Series win, and we don't know what he's going to be the rest of his career. We don't know what the rest of his legacy is going to be.
It's not fair, though. DeGrom is light years above the player Pete is. You know what I mean?
Of course, but I'm giving you another example of what people said before they knew, and the book is still out on DeGrom. The book is out on Pete Alonso. He just turned 30. He could play another 7-8 years, and like I said about his bat and the chip on his shoulder, his bat is going to play. He could be a DH. If he's not at first base in 4 years, he could transition and be in a DH. We've seen Nelson Cruz be a DH till he's 41 in this league. Like, we don't know what he's going to be. If he goes somewhere else and helps the team win a World Series before the Mets return to one since 1986, like, what are we saying? We don't know.
All I'm saying is Pete talks a lot about how much he wants to be a Met.
Because he has to. He had to say all the right things, hoping that the Mets would do right by him and this rich owner would give him the years and the AAV that he felt like he deserved.
What Met fans are not confident that the first initial offer to Pete was not something that was a fair offer? You know what I mean? I'm confident in that as the owner being a fan, he's not going to – that $70 million could not have been the only offer they offered him. No, of course not.
We already know of 7 years, $158 million. To me, that AAV is too low, and you go out and try and prove it, and your advisors would tell you don't sign that, right? You're not doing that with the richest owner in the sport. You're not giving him a hometown discount. This isn't the Atlanta Braves. You're not shacking up with a bunch of other guys that took cheap deals. And then when you look at this last one that we heard of 3 years, $90 million, okay, there's the AAV, but 3 years, he just turned 30, so he's going to play 30, 31, 32-year-old seasons and then have to prove it again? I understand not wanting to do that. I understand wanting the years and the security. And if I can't get that here, then I'll go prove it elsewhere. Goodbye. Not to you, like Pete Alonso saying goodbye to them.
Yeah, I hear you. And it just hurts because Pete talks as much as he does about wanting to be a Met, and I believe it. But so if he doesn't end up coming back, I'm going to hold it partially against him because I believe the Mets made him a fair offer, and then therefore I will boo him, and he will be dead to me. And that's just how it works.
Thanks for the call, Lawrence. Yo, the Met fan base is split right now. There were Mets fans calling Evan and Tiki today talking about being done with the team. Now we got Lawrence out there in Oklahoma. I don't know when the Mets are going to play in Oklahoma, but when they do, he's showing up. Or I don't know when Pete Alonso is going to play in Oklahoma, but when he does, he's showing up to boo Pete Alonso.
Let's go, Mets!
Yeah, sports is amazing. Fandom is amazing. It makes us feel things. It makes us think things. We don't even know all the things that we need to know, but we make these rash decisions, and it's just like, he's dead to me. Why? He deserves to get paid. This guy hit mad home runs for you. This guy hit arguably the most important home run of the year for you. That didn't get him anything. That didn't get him any more. That didn't get him any more grace. That didn't get him any more of a year, any more of a bonus. And then he had to sit there and watch Juan Soto. What did Juan Soto do for the Mets? Juan Soto sent the Yankees to the World Series. Damn. Thought we were family. And when you talk about Pete saying he wants to be a Met, yes, you say all the right things leading up. Yes, you say you want to be a Met. You have the richest owner in the sport. That money is nothing to him. But now Steve is taking a back seat to David Stearns. He was in the front seat for Juan Soto. Now he's in the back seat like, hey, don't look at me. Don't look at me. Phillip's in Jamaica, Queens on the Fan. What's up, Phillip?
Thanks so much for taking my call. It's been a while, but it's great to speak to you. I want to make 2 points about Pete Alonso. Number one, if I was Pete Alonso, I would feel disrespected. They signed Nemo. They signed Lindor. They signed
McNeil.
Scherzer,
Edwin Diaz.
Exactly. Then when it comes to him, they don't give him what. To me, it's not about the money. It's about being disrespected. Why are you offering all these players all these mega contracts? And when it comes to me, it's so hard to get. And my question is, do you think his performance has been going down for the years? This has been his worst year. Do you think his performance has been affected because he wanted to prove to the Mets that, look, if you don't sign him, you're going to make a mistake? And do you think it affected his
performance? Of course. A ton of pressure. You could tell he was pressing. You could tell he was trying. It wasn't natural for him this year. And this was a huge year for Lindor. Lindor was an MVP candidate, runner-up. Lindor emerged as like the actual captain face of the franchise. And then it seemed like everyone followed his lead, but Pete wasn't always able to. This was a tough prove-it year for Pete. I'm sure he would tell you, you know, in hindsight, he wasn't himself this year. And maybe there are other reasons that we don't know about. Obviously, the pressure of a contract, maybe there's something going on at home, with family, whatever. I don't know. I know last year, before we got here in 2023, there was rumblings about him being a cancer in the clubhouse. And then potentially trading him when they traded everybody else. They did not. And you come into this year, and he's the lone all-star. I think that was kind of awkward too, right? Lindor should have been an all-star. Nimmo should have been an all-star. He's the lone all-star representing the Mets. And he had to hear about that. And then literally in the postseason, fans were calling for him to be benched. I'm listening to WFAN like, are you trying to win? And I tip my cap to Carlos Mendoza, who after game two said to the media, he's one swing away from changing the game for us. He changed the season with one swing the next day. So I don't know. I think if I'm Steve Cohen, I can't take a back seat. If I'm Steve Cohen, I'm like, nah, that guy's earned it. That guy deserves it. We can give a little bit more. And I can't bank on Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And I damn sure can't bank on these kids and like evaluating. Like if I'm an owner of the Mets, like Steve Cohen, who just got a taste of the NLCS, I want to get back there next year. And I don't think this team on paper right now is better than the team last year that made that run, and you've already lost so many pieces of that team. You're starting over in a way. Thanks for the call, Phil. Not completely starting over, but like this is a different vibe. This is a different look. Juan Soto is a magnet for media and attention. He's going to have to carry the team. And now there's definitely going to be some awkwardness, some negative feelings. There are guys on that team that love Pete Alonso. There are guys on that team that are best friends with Pete Alonso. And now he's gone. And, you know, we talked about the Giants culture and how Joe Shane was doing business, asking players to take less money, how they handled Daniel Jones and how that played out in the locker room. Let's see how this plays out. 888-808-1019, KM to 8:45 p.m. returns right after this. All the money except for you, Pete Alonso. Sorry, buddy. Congratulations, you played yourself. Should have taken that, that offer that Billy Epler put out there for you. That's crazy. Keith McPherson on the Fan, 7:30. I'll be off in like an hour and probably in like an hour, like 8:30. So let's get to these calls. There's only one thing to do, one thing to talk about, the state of the Mets franchise, the Mets fan base. The Juan Soto party is way over, and now you kind of just got to save face because Pete Alonso's not going to take whatever you give him. And I think the fan base is split in so many different ways. The first way is, you know, we trust in David Stearns. 1 year on the job, look what he did for us. Look what this guy did in Milwaukee. We got to trust his decisions. And if he doesn't want Pete, that's how we're rolling. And, you know, the sideways look is, hey, we're in the middle right now. I'm indifferent. I don't know. Nothing's happened. Pete hasn't signed anywhere. Maybe he comes back. And I kind of think that one's evaporating by the second. Like, I don't think Pete Alonso wants to look at David Stearns, let alone, you know, take what he gives him and come back. And then, you know, the backwards hat Mets fan that's like not really wearing the logo in the front, not really proud of the logo right now, still wearing that Pete Alonso jersey saying, this is wrong. This guy deserved his money. This guy gave us great moments, specifically at the end of this year when we needed him to the most. Does the postseason performance not count for anything? 888-808-1019. Peter and Wontog, you're on the Fan.
Well, Keith, I got to tell you, I'm 62 years old. I've been a Mets fan a long time. And for them to do this to Pete Alonso was a disgrace. First of all, signing Juan Soto, the next day they should have signed Pete Alonso. Because having Juan Soto in that lineup without Pete Alonso, that lineup is not good. And I agree with you, the pitching staff, this team is not better than it was last year. And last year, there was no expectations. For whatever reason, they got into the wild card, and they made it all the way to the NLCS. And to see what the Dodgers had as a team, and if you don't realize you need hitting, you know, timely pitching and all the other stuff and a good bullpen, then I don't know what David Stearns. And I don't want to hear any more about Steve Cohen, the great Mets fan. And I tell you, Keith, I've been going to Shea Stadium long before you were around. I don't know how you sneak into the stadium. Everybody hear that story? I tried, me and my friends. Every year we would try and we get arrested. So I don't know who ever snuck into Shea Stadium.
David Stearns, he's a crafty one.
yeah, he knows. He knows. Right. He knows. But anyway, this is an embarrassment as a Mets. I'm a longtime Mets fan, and not to sign literally David Wright, Tom Seaver, and now Pete Alonso, homegrown.
Yeah, it's a pattern here. It's a pattern here. Thanks for the call, Peter. You know, Evan, I don't know if they clipped Evan talking about Tom Seaver, but I thought that was like the best moment of the show today and that how real that was. Evan talking about working with Joe Beningo and also leaning into his father and the history, his dad getting him into the Mets and him knowing the Mets history. And it was after a caller basically said that this was his breaking point, right? That this was it. Like, not bringing Pete back, not doing right by Pete, this is going to make me not be a fan. And, you know, he leaned back into Tom Seaver being traded. I don't know. I'll say this, you know, going back to what the last caller said. Sign Pete Alonso, or sign Juan Soto. That Juan Soto deal, there was an article written by John Heyman like a day or two after that this was a risk-free signing, that this signing comes with minimal risk. To sign Juan Soto for 15 years, there's no risk when Juan, in 10 years, there's no risk when Juan Soto can't really run out there in right field. He already has some trouble lining up in right field, looking at the ball, locating it, running to it, whether it goes over his head or drops in front of him. I'm not saying he's a bad defender. I'm going off of what I saw myself in Yankee Stadium and on TV. You watched the World Series. So that's not a bad investment. Right, this is a no-risk signing for the Mets and Steve Cohen with Juan Soto in a decade when there's still 5 years left on that contract and he's a DH. If it's me, I go out and sign Pete Alonso right after to protect my investment. If it's me, I'm looking at the team last year saying, we're adding Juan Soto to this? Yes, let's keep as many guys as we can. I don't know. I just think it's crazy how quickly fans have pivoted from, like, the guy that was your main guy, the guy that was the guy that you were, you couldn't wait for this guy to come up. It was on him to hit the home run. This guy had multi-home run games, had weeks where he hit five home runs. Now just, he's on a decline. He's no good. We don't need him. We got Juan Soto. We'll get Vladdy next year. Ray is in Brooklyn. Ray, you're on the fan.
Keith, my guy, good evening. Thanks for taking the call.
Good evening.
My boy. Yo, check it out. I want to elaborate a little further on this, especially since Mets fans have taken an adversarial position with me because I'm one of the first people to bring up the, you know, the whole conversation about family my ass with the Mets. So, and the reason why I want to say pat myself on the back a little bit is because I heard C-Mac, I think it was yesterday, and he was like, hey, you know, not to pat myself on the back, but, you know, I kind of brought this up. Well, C-Mac, I brought it up, and both you and I, you know, were getting hounded by Mets fans afterwards. So I'm going to get hounded. Give me a little bit of credit here. But, and then here's the other thing.
Not to cut you off, Ray. I was listening to those calls. A lot of the people listening around right now at 7:30, they don't be listening at 2:33 a.m. They don't.
Okay,
they don't.
All right.
But to kind of paraphrase from it, Ray was on this a week or two ago on the you know late night in my show, and then even the overnight with Chris about how you know the family stuff, and I knew it too. Watching that press conference with Juan Soto, how much he used that keyword family. Family was the word to mask. I went to the highest bidder. They just didn't want him to say anything about money, highest bidder, the offer, how much the contract. It was a whole pitch of family, family, family. That's what attracted you to the Mets. And now you're seeing how the Mets actually treat somebody that's been a part of their family for years. Go on, Ray.
Exactly, Keith. And you know what? You're a real G for giving me my credit right there. I have been on it for a couple of weeks. But, you know, and it's not to troll anybody, even though it prompted, you know, the guy who uses the analogy that the Mets are pimps to call twice and kind of, you know, and be adversarial with me. But
yo, so, the funniest part was when C-Mac was like, oh, I thought pimps were quite frugal.
yeah, and you know what? Yeah, exactly. So the guy's using the wrong analogy because pimps don't give away money. They expect you to bring them money.
Right.
And you know what? With Juan Soto, he's not Aaron Judge. He'll sell a few jerseys, but where is he listed in the top, you know, 50 in baseball? What, 30th? Or something, he's not selling the tickets that Aaron Judge does or the jersey. So the analogy is all wrong. But, you know, I appreciate the guy, you know, not liking me and you and C-Mac speaking the truth about his organization.
There's way too much Yankees versus Mets right now. We need the games to start. I cannot wait for these games to start because there's all of this talk of like, you know, oh, now you can buy all these players, but you can't keep your own guy. Oh, all the talk about, you know, the new George Steinbrenner. George Steinbrenner would have kept his guy. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, no, Keith, and I also took it to another, to the next step with the Mets. And I'm being honest. I'm like I said, this is just an objective opinion that, like, how are you not even, how is Mr. OMG? He was a superstar in his role. He's not a superstar player, but he was a superstar in his role, not only on the field where he had 340, but comes to team camaraderie, bringing it all together. Like, I'm not going to go as far as the guy from the Phillies to say he deserves the MVP of the league.
I played that audio Monday night. Nick Castellano said he was the MVP.
Yeah, but he's one of the MVPs of the Mets. And he's a top five.
They can get a Jose Iglesias contract done easily. They can wait on that because Jose Iglesias, for his own Candelita brand and OMG Part 2 and whatever he does, he blew up here in New York. He does not want to go sign anywhere else. He will wait until spring training. But, yeah, I would bring him back just because, like I said, bro, they don't want to lose so many pieces of the puzzle. They put together the pieces of the puzzle last year. It got them to game 6 of the NLCS. You start losing pieces of that puzzle, it's not going to look the same this year.
No, true. I wouldn't mind having him as a utility guy on the Yankees. I don't want him singing any songs or anything because we don't need the gimmicks with the Yankees.
Yeah, we don't need the performance or a home run sign. We wouldn't do any of that. But can he play third?
Keith, he doesn't even have to hit 340. I'll take 290. And the last thing I need to say about that is I told everyone, I said, hey, you know, I think that Stearns gave, the owner, Cohen, his guy, and now he's going to do what David Stearns does. I knew that he was going to be cheap.
Thanks for the call, Ray. Well, he kind of has to be, right? Because now, and this is what I said earlier about evaluating the young talent and being cost-effective. Now you have a guy, right? You're in your second year of being the president of baseball operations with the Mets. And for the next 15 years, you have a guy that's going to take up to $805 million from the payroll. You have to start planning for the future now. They don't look at Pete Alonso as part of the future, and it's obvious because of the first offer at $90 million and then how that offer shrank down to $68 million. Come on. It's just obvious. They were basically telling him, go. They were literally telling him, take it or leave it. You don't want it. And as time went on, the money shrank. They're daring him to walk away, and they're saying, go find someone that's going to pay you. You have no market, and we don't need you anymore. And that's
go
unfortunate.
Take a walk.
Go take a walk is unfortunate for Pete Alonso. He definitely earned and deserved better than that. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan, BRB. Is this the end? Well, not the end of my show, just the end of Pete Alonso's Mets career. And it's just crazy. You just wish it could end better, especially after what he did on the field. At least we have that. At least we have his postseason performance, the heroics. He went out in a way that I didn't see. I mean, even in that game, I think I took a call the other night talking about how he fell over his bat, how, you know, he didn't make the play up against the netting, and the Brewers fans were mocking him. I don't know, man. I believe in the baseball gods. I believe in energy, the universe. I felt like there was an energy transfer right there. I feel like Pete Alonso was a competitor, and right there when those fans were in earshot of him, laughing at him, mocking him, he made them pay. He made them pay. Hit a homer off Devin Williams. I'd rather talk about Devin Williams. I can't wait to see Devin Williams pitch for the Yankees. He's going to be out there at American Dream for the Pinstripe Pride event. I'll see you guys January 31st, February 1st, February 2nd. We're coming up on that. This is the third year. All the Yankee fans, reporters, former players, autograph signings, memorabilia. That's going to be fun. You know, I'd rather talk about Munetaka Murakami and how the Yankees are set up to make a run for the Japanese first baseman next year. But nope, tonight is the night where we hear from Mets fans who are split right now. The fan base is divided. I get it. Like, Pete Alonso is a fan favorite. He's a guy that a lot of you were sure would be here, especially having the richest owner in the sport. But there are others that are saying, hey, they offered him 7 years. They offered him a higher AAV. But I do think it's nuts that they got down to the point where they're doing a last-ditch effort offering him 3 years, $68 million. Like, that's an insult. Please, like, $70 million a year. Like, okay, now the money is drying up. The richest owner in the sport. The money's drying up for me after all I did for you. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Phil in Jersey. What's up, Phil? You're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. So, I mean, I'm hearing all this talk. First of all, I'm one of the Mets fans that's going to wear my stuff proudly, because anyone who's ashamed after this offseason is ridiculous. You know, you bring up the offer that the Mets gave of three for 70 as insulting. How is that insulting? I mean, that's over $23 million a year. If you look at the other first baseman, Bryce Harper's making $27.5 million per year. Freddie Freeman.
A week ago, they had three for 90 on the table. It's insulting because the money started to disappear for the guy. It's insulting because they gave Juan Soto $800 million. It's insulting because a bunch of other guys around him got paid. They paid Brandon Nimmo center fielder money for, what, 8 years?
Yeah, but that's a valuable position. I mean, Pete is – I'm not going to sit here and deny that they need to replace
– They moved Nimmo out of center field.
Production. Well, that's correct, but they need to replace the home run production that Pete is giving. But at the end of the day, he's slow.
Juan Soto is going to do it without hitting in front of Judge. I get it. I get it. So you think the contract offer was fair at 3 for 90 or 3 for 70 or 7 for 158?
Well, I think they were all fair. And if you don't accept the offer and you don't have another market, why are they going to keep going up and up and up? They're not going to bid against themselves.
Understood. Thanks for the call, Phil. Let's go to Phil in Sheepshead Bay. I'm just running out of time. We got to run through it.
Hey, Keith.
Hey.
Number one, I want to make a point.
the new Met GM. This is not the Milwaukee Brewers. That's a small operation. You're talking about a class organization that wants to get to the playoffs, hopefully a World
Not
Series.
To cut you off, but I just said they gave Soto $800 million, and we know it's not the Brewers.
I mean, I can't understand it. And Steve Cohen, with all his money, is yielding to this guy? Come on, give me a break.
Yeah, it's, I guess they're playing chess in a way. I think when you do extend and you give the signing bonus and the suite, which is going to be a $1 million hit at least, and you give $51 million a year to Juan Soto, then you can't give Pete the years that he wants. I push back on the Milwaukee stuff because Milwaukee never would ever attempt to sign Juan Soto. They would, when Stearns was there, they were beefing with Corbin Burns over $700,000 in arbitration. Then he went on to win the Cy Young.
No, it's not the Wilpon organization anymore. That's why I'm in shock.
Yes, no, I understand
Wilpons,
that.
I could understand they let Zachary go over to the Phillies because of a difference of a million or two.
Yes.
That completely turned me off.
Thanks for the call, Phil. Now, what's going to turn you off about the man from Milwaukee and Steve Cohen is what type of deals Pete Alonso ends up taking. Because now, right, there's no market for him. A market will appear. There was a quote from Scott Boras that I saw earlier today where he seems upset. And of course he is, because it's back-to-back years where he's kind of got his tail between his legs. But he said something along the lines of, the teams are making more money, they're just not spending it. Yeah, baseball is in a great place. Baseball is alive and well. A lot of these teams made a lot of money, and they're holding on to it. But Pete Alonso is going to play. He's a 30-year-old power hitter. Power hitters like that do not grow on trees. I know a lot of you want to talk down on him at first base. Is he better at first base than Juan Soto is in right field? Debatable. I think somebody's going to sign him. And I think he's going to play for another 5, 6, 7 years. And even if he's not at first base, he'll be a DH. And now we'll just watch and see where that happens elsewhere in the league. I mean, if the Yankees weren't on Munetaka Murakami next year, hey, Boras, get him a 2-year deal or 1-year deal with an opt-out. And Paul Goldschmidt doesn't have the type of year that we think he can have. Maybe he's right back here in New York. Who knows? Who knows? John is out in Long Island, on Long Island, on the Fan in New York.
Yes, it's always the same old mess. They're not going to get Alonso, and they're going to do horrible without anybody sitting behind Soto. It's the same old Mets. They're always cheap. Stearns is like a Wilpon extension. He's just too cheap. You can't have this guy in charge. You got this guy. You paid $800 million. You got to have Alonso. Just find the guy. What are you kidding me? It's stupid. I'm a Yankees fan, I got to admit. But I'll call you back in playoff time. The Yankees will be in there. And the Mets, if they don't sign Alonso, they're not going to the playoffs.
Thanks for the call, John.
Yeah. Let's go, Mets!
I will say this. We all know that it was Hal and it was Steve at the, finish line that Sunday night of the winter meetings for Soto. That contract, maybe Stearns helped as far as the bones of that contract, because that was a masterful contract. The incentives, even like telling this guy, hey, we'll give you, $500,000 if you win MVP next year. You're not winning MVP next year unless Ohtani gets hurt. But it's in there. I don't know if the Yankees had things like that. And then even the escalators where no other team is like when he opts out, the Mets are just going to raise his AAV to $55 million. Like it was a masterful contract and they got the player. But now, once that's done, Steve Cohen steps out of the way. Once that's done, the man from Milwaukee has to operate. And he had a hard line for Soto and Alonso after Soto. And like that. That's why I posted the meme today. And, I leaned into the trolling because it's just so easy. It's fun. And that's what the internet is for. But I posted the Avengers meme where the little girl says, what did it cost? And then Thanos says everything. I said, we got Juan Soto? Yes. What did it cost? Pete Alonso. But you can afford both, which is crazy. It's like that, you never imagined the future where you have the richest owner in the sport by a lot and he can't field the team with Juan Soto and Pete Alonso after you go to the NLCS. It should be reload time. It should be we're trying to get back to face the Dodgers, and now Juan Soto puts us over the top, bring everybody back, and put Juan Soto on top of the team so that we can maybe get past them. Now, I don't know if this is a playoff team. The expectations have changed. They will have a target on their back in their division. The Braves want some get back. The Phillies damn sure want some get back. It's going to be a fun baseball season. How many days till pitchers and catchers? Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back.